but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter. You are welcome to be seated during this long Gospel passage. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man born who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But then they kept asking him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that were opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who it was who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents had said, "He is of age, ask him." So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know that he is a sinner. One thing I know, though, I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he listens to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never, since the world began, has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that he had been driven out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one who is speaking with you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Did you notice that our lector looked a little older today? Today is Jim Fregosi's birthday. And I know that as you get older, you get better looking and wiser. Our council president, Leonard Foster, back here, arranged a fine men's retreat for us a couple weeks ago up at Capulidua. Did you hear about the food? For our meal that first evening, we had roast pastor. You know how it is when you roast a person? We had leftovers for all the rest of the meals. Actually, Pastor Marone likes us to think that she's a very humble, self-effacing person. When she came, the property committee fixed up a room as an office for her in the education building. And she was in her new office when there was a knock on the door. She thought, I've just come. I've got to impress these people with my importance. So she said, "Come in, I'm on the phone." And she swiveled around in her chair so that her back was to the door and the desk. She heard someone come in and she said into the phone, Yes, Bishop Hanson, I'm glad you called. You're the chief bishop of the ELCA, 5,000-6,000 churches. I don't see how you do it all. But I'll be glad to tell you what I think. Yes, you can depend on it. I'll email you this afternoon and tell you what you should do. Goodbye, Bishop. she thought that ought to do it. I mean, the head honcho of the church asking me for advice. She turned around and she saw a man standing there whom she didn't know, and she said, I'm sorry I kept you waiting. What can I do for you? Well, the man said, actually, I just came in to hook up the phone. The proof of Christianity is revealed in the test tube of faith. It is when a person believes that he or she sees. It is after a person trusts that that person knows. This is delineated clearly in today's marvelous gospel, read very well by our pastor with such good inflection. We could follow the account of this man who was blind, but who believed and was able to see. He received his sight. Those persons who had physical sight but had no faith remained spiritually blind. It's a great story. A man was born blind. He never saw those fluffy clouds in the sky, the color of ripe figs, the smile on one's face, the gleaming in one's eye. With that gnarled stick of his, he made his way along those cobblestone streets in Jerusalem, using his senses of hearing and touch to find his way to the temple and the marketplace and that square mud-covered house he called home. One day, to his chagrin, he became the subject of a controversy. People saw him and were talking about him. Why would a person have this kind of affliction? Why was he born blind? One of the persons in the crowd, Paul Galilean, didn't enter the conversation. He went over to the man. He always went to the one who needed him most. And that one stooped down, got some clay, and made a mud plaster, and put it on the man's eyes, a common cure for some of the diseases that day. And he said to the man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. The word, as we noted in the gospel, means sent. And the one who said this was Jesus, who had been sent by God. The man didn't know what to do. I mean, people were making fun of him all of his life, ridiculing him. Why should he let this man make a fool of him? Yet the man spoke with authority. He had mud in his eye, that he knew. What did he have to lose? He would at least get his face washed. So it was that he went to the pool of Siloam and washed. Not gingerly, you know, hedging his bets. He washed completely. And when he came up out of the water, he was able to see. His sight was restored. Imagine that. I mean, seeing colors he had never seen and shapes he had never seen. He had imagined what this or that looked like, and now he was able to see. It was a great miracle. And people asked questions. The first question was asked by the disciples, the question with which the whole thing began. Why was this man born blind? Either God was able to do something about it and didn't, which would be a reflection of his love, or else he wanted to do something but couldn't, which was a reflection of his power. Why was a man born blind? Well, they concluded that God was a good God. Ah, this isn't a fault-free world. Someone must have sinned. Who sinned, they asked Jesus. This man or his parents? And Jesus said, well, that's not the way God works. It wasn't that this man sinned or that his parents sinned. It was that God might be glorified. You and I have often seen persons in some affliction who, precisely because of that, let the love of God and their faith shine through so clearly. It was It was that God might be glorified that this man was in this situation. But they asked the question, why? The next question was the question, how? The neighbors ask it this time. They have seen this man all of their lives sitting on that little stoop in front of the house. How is it that you can see? Well, the man said, a man named Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and I went and washed and received my sight. Well, that didn't make much sense to them. Maybe they had the wrong man. Maybe this was somebody who looked somewhat like that that blind person. It's so easy to pass by a person with affliction and not really look at the person, not really see. Maybe this was somebody else. No. No, the man said, I am that person. I am the one. And they said, well, how? You know, what took place? And the man said, well, a man named Jesus made mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went and washed, and I'm able to see. Ah, Jesus had done this. Maybe they should go to the religious authorities, to the Pharisees. So they took this man to the Pharisees and explained what had happened. And the Pharisees said to him, well, explain to us what took place. And the man said, well, a man named Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went and washed and received my sight. That didn't make much sense yet. Maybe the man was just a little slow. They'd ask his parents. They asked the parents, and the parents said, don't get us involved. You know, he's of age. He's old enough. Ask him. They didn't want to get caught up in this, maybe, and get kicked out of this synagogue. And so they went back to him again and asked the question, you know, how is it that you can see? And he said, well, a man named Jesus made mud, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went and washed and received my sight. A man named Jesus. Well, that turned them to the question of who. Who was this Jesus? Who had done this? And the more they looked into it, they discovered perhaps that the healing had happened on a Sabbath day. This man wasn't keeping the law of Moses. This was a religious man. This was some kind of charlatan. All of this was some kind of hoax. They would have none of it. This who Jesus meant nothing to them. And so it was that in their consternation, they cast the man out of the synagogue. Now he had no support around him. And in that circumstance, Jesus came to him. As I said earlier, he's always closest to those who need him most. And Jesus came to him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And this is the key to the whole passage. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And this man said, well, I don't know. Who is he? Now, he should have known. I mean, Jesus had stood before him before, and Jesus talked to him, and Jesus touched his eyes. But he said, I don't know. And the reason is this. When Jesus talked to the man before, the man was blind. He couldn't see. It was after he had faith, after he trusted, that he was able to see who Jesus is. And that's the way it works. As I said in the beginning, the proof of Christianity is revealed in the test tube of faith. That's a dialectic of faith. It's when one believes that he or she sees. It's when one trusts that a person knows. We sing about it in our hymns. Only believe, and thou shalt see, that Christ is all in all to thee. Trust, and thy trusting soul shall approve. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy love. And so it is that you and I, at varying places in our faith journey, hear this marvelous story, and we let God speak to us through it, causing us to ask ourselves, to what degree do we commit ourselves to Him, have the kind of faith which enables us really to see? We need to commit as much of ourselves as we can to as much of the Lord as we understand. And the more we do this, the more we realize how great He is. So it is that you and you and I, by the grace of God, are touched with this Jesus who went to the man, put mud in his eye, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam so he could see. The man believed, the man trusted, and was able to see who Jesus is. And you and I join him then in saying, you know, whether this man is a sinner or not, I can't tell you, but one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see.